Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Advisor. So, breakdown before breakthrough. Why are the darkest nights of the soul often set the stage for the brightest transformation? Or why do they? Back with us today is Dr. Yvette Rose. So, she is a holistic counselor, PhD, MBA, and internationally celebrated trauma recovery expert. She's the best-selling author of Metaphysical Anatomy and more than 20 other books that map the hidden emotional roots of 722 physical conditions. Her work turns complex mind-body science into clear self-healing roadmaps. So after overcoming her own painful past, she developed breakthrough methods like the metaphysical anatomy technique and meta-psychology coaching. So she's been guiding thousands of clients across 43 countries. And she just shared with me that she's been to all of these countries when I told her I was nervous about my travel. And she loves it. And so she teaches people to release trauma and reclaim a life driven by purpose rather than their pain. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson of the Emotion Code and to iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. We love you and to our fans and our audience and our followers. Thank you so much. Please do not forget to like and subscribe. Dr. Rose, it's so nice to see you again.
You too. It's amazing to be back. I'm looking forward to this topic. It's going to be really interesting.
This is a tough one, and I feel like a lot of people are on either side of it. So it's going to be interesting for people to hear about it. But I always hear dark night of the soul. So what does that even mean?
That's a great question. So, dark night of the soul is that moment, and I'm sure, I don't know, Lisa, I'm sure you can relate. I don't know, but have you ever felt like that your awakening is more than actually a breakdown rather than a breakthrough, right? It feels more like it's that dark night of the soul, exactly what you just said. It feels the opposite of what we would think would be bliss and feeling ecstatic, feeling free, feeling expanded. And instead, we feel, we have anxiety. Some people have panic attacks. Some people are hyperventilating. Some people have hot flushes. Some people get really dizzy. A lot of people feel just completely ungrounded and literally all over the place. Like you get up, you want to do something, and then 2 minutes later, you don't remember what you even intended to do. Right. So there's a lot of brain fog that also comes along with this. It's a very physical, visceral response, thinking that, but this is my soul trying to come through. Why is my body not embracing this?
Right.
Now, it throws the question at us, why does something so sacred feel so brutal? Right. And I think the biggest challenge that I see with a lot of people, and including myself, that had happened as well. We think that the soul is, we're ascending and we're moving into a higher vibration, but in most cases, the consciousness of the soul is doing pretty well. The pain, the low vibrations, the negativity, the trauma, that's held in the body, or as I would call the consciousness of the body. And what we need to learn, understand is how do we help the body through transitions? And that includes our spiritual awakening, which also means heightened awareness. Your senses are more sensitive. Your intuition comes through more clearly. But now you need to remember also, with all these filters that are opening up, it also means that more is coming in. And all this new information that's coming in and more awareness that you have of your body, it's not just having more awareness of what is great, but it's also having more awareness of what is not working. Where am I stuck? Where is trauma? And neuroscience also shows us that awakening, how I see it disrupts our neural pathways, and it's also rewiring the brain. And that deep transformation, it's going to require a bit of a death of old identities. Identities that we might have a certain safety or emotional attachment to, because certain identities helped us to succeed or to gain certain goals in our lives. But there could also be negative sides to this identity, which is wounded, which also creates, a lot more self-fulfilling problems in itself. So it's a bit of like a mixed salad at the end of the day when we really truly look at all of this. And what I'm trying to say by bringing this together is that awakening, it's not just a shift in perspective. It's a complete nervous system and sensory system and energetic reset. So I want to break down why spiritual awakening is so painful and how we can gently start to navigate without starting to lose ourselves in the process. You know, when you look on social media and you see these memes where people look glamorous and really beautiful, and they go like, before my spiritual journey, and then they show a picture afterwards and they look like someone that's been pulled backwards 10 times through a thorn. The hair is standing and, you know, there's black circles under the eyes and it's just that people
Mascara.
look weird.
It's not coming from their nose. It's like
Everything,
begging
the
for
box
like
of tissues are
mercy.
there. Right? So I mean I'm laughing because that absolutely has been me. So whew,
Yeah,
and
me
it's
too.
tough moments. It's deep moments. And the reason why it feels so incredibly powerful and so deeply painful is because the brain actually struggles with transformation. You'd think, but why? Because it's going to lead me and take me to something incredible, right, Lisa? It's going to take me to something that's going to feel better than where I am now. So why would the brain struggle to accept something that's actually positive, that's good for me? And here's the reason why it also feels like an identity crisis. Because remember, our brains, it's designed to seek predictability. And awakening disrupts everything familiar. And what does that do? It sends our nervous system into panic mode, into a complete meltdown. Now, what happens in the brain? Now, this is a really good question. I think the more we just understand the neurological side of it, the more we can understand the symptoms and the ripple effects that comes as a result of that as well. We all know that little amygdala. Now the amygdala is activated even more. And that's the fear center of our brain because it's sensing the loss of your old self as a threat. It's like, wait, this old identity knows how to feel familiar and how to find safety in chaos and in stressful circumstances. How am I going to regain that sense of balance or at least sense of familiarity when I'm in new circumstances? But what we don't realize to question in that moment is what I associate safe and familiar with really truly safe for me? You see, awakening is a transition out of circumstances that actually don't work for us anymore. We're evolving. But we don't see that gray area, that gap of what is happening in between. And so now this is, and a part of the reason for that is the prefrontal cortex. It goes into complete overload. So your logical brain, it's also struggling because it can't process all these new insights. And this can also lead to a lot of mental fog and a lot of mental disorientation because you are relearning how to sense and see and observe people and your circumstances and your environment from a new perspective. Your RAS, the reticular activating system, it's in for a rude awakening because what you see is going to start to shift. Because the RAS is responsible for filtering in what your emotional state is. So if you're feeling down, low, or you're in a low vibration, well, the RAS is going to go and filter in and see, well, what else feels like that so that I can at least relate to it. But now your filters are opening up and it's seeing more than what the RAS is also showing us. So this feedback coming in and the resonance is coming through, there's a discord. Because it doesn't fully connect to, well, I'm supposed to connect to that, but it doesn't make me feel that way. Well, there's a feedback loop breakdown. Okay, so that creates a little bit of stress. For some people, it can create complete panic or anxiety because the body cannot match what it's looking for. So now it has to relearn, oh, what is it that I'm sensing? And on top of that, and that leads me right into dopamine. We have a complete dopamine crash and reset. So all the old things that once made you feel happy, it doesn't feel satisfying anymore. And that creates also that sense of inner crisis. The way that you would achieve goals It doesn't give you that dopamine kick anymore because your values are changing. How you feel about what you once wanted changes. How many times have we pursued goals that is a result of something that we're chasing that will give us a certain emotional euphoria that we cannot feel and access within ourselves? So we're constantly trying to plug holes in the body and in our emotional world by doing things rather than actually living from a place of passion. We live from a place of perceived false emotional necessity of, I need that. I must have that to survive. Right? So this all of this breaks down. All of this starts to change. And the reason why it also hurts is the subconscious mind has stored so much unprocessed pain for years. And awakening, I don't know, but for me, awakening has forced me to face it. So all belief systems, all this conditioning, it starts breaking down and it makes you feel incredibly ungrounded and lost. And sometimes it makes you feel disconnected from your family and from friends. Because with family, we often share values, right? We share values with friends as well. But when your values start to shift and change, the resonance that we feel with people that we used to share values with shifts and change. And it disrupts that synergy, that connection that we used to feel with them, thinking, wow, I'm losing my family. But no, actually, no, you're not. You're just rewiring to connect with them in a different way, with different values, with different belief systems, with different filters. They're still probably the same. It's just that you're going through your rude awakening. And that awakening, it reveals. And this is the moment where it gets really stressful because that awakening reveals the illusions that you once lived by. And so for some people, this can be heartbreaking. Like for me, as an example, that moment when I realized, wow, I don't think my dad ever loved me. And if he did, it was probably in his own destructive, alcoholic, drug addicted way. And that realization of, I'm maybe never going to have what I wanted or needed. That was like a bucket of cold water. But it was an awakening for my inner child as well to realize, let go. Because holding on to someone that's never going to change is destroying you. And it did. It did in the past. So this is an example of how painful an awakening can be by just purely finally realizing how we have been holding on to certain things that's just not. It's not serving you at all. Because when we shift to higher vibrations, the body's going to look for people and circumstances to align with that. And it's during that ascension process that we start to see the people and circumstances that we used to be connected to, how much that have been hurting us, because we can see how the new connections are making us feel so good, so safe, so peaceful. And we start to compare. And we start to feel that, and a nervous system starts to tap into that and going, wow, it hurts to let go, but I see the benefit of moving forward. So this is how we start to gently, this is part of the awakening, right? We see it, but we can't quite get ourselves there. And that's why awakening feels, it can feel like a death because, I mean, I once joked because I said in a class once that it feels almost like the death of a neural pattern, right? It's like neural pathways are just dying down. Now, something that really helped me to move through that was to actually remind myself that confusion is normal because we panic when we feel confused. We think, oh my God, this is not good. Maybe I need to go to see the doctor. Maybe something is wrong. There's nothing wrong. The only thing that's wrong is how we are almost attacking, not feeling our normal. You're moving into a new normal. And moving to that new normal is sometimes going to create feelings of imbalance. It's perfectly normal because your brain is adjusting to a new way of thinking. Embrace that. And what I also did that really helped me was to write down my fears because when we do that, it actually helps the prefrontal cortex to process them logically. So I would write down my fears and then I will write down, okay, so this is what can happen. What is the worst case scenario? And then for each worst case scenario, I write down at least two plausible solutions. And it immediately quiets
Calm
down
your
the
system.
prefrontal cortex, immediately quiets down the amygdala, and we can relax now because we know there is a solution. It's not knowing that exacerbates the fear response. And that is what sends people into a complete spin and panic. Because on top of that, if we don't do a simple exercise like that, you have to remember the nervous system, it's already overwhelmed. So now the body's reaction is hypersensitive, right? We know that awakening activates the nervous system, and this can put the body in a very strong, either fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response, depending on what is normally your go-to instinctive reaction. And signs that I went through, when I remember, and I still sometimes find myself dipping in and out of it when I feel like, wow, there's a collective wave coming. Whoo, here we go. You can feel it, right? It's like sudden anxiety or panic attacks. For me, it's insomnia, and then I hit this extreme intense fatigue. Like there's no grace period or balance in between. It's like it's either or, right? And feeling also disconnected, feeling almost like, I call it the goldfish in the bowl syndrome. It's like you just feel like you're sitting there blowing your bubbles, and you're looking at the world through the glass, and everything is just happening outside of you, and you're just an observer, right? That real dissociated state and feeling. And waves. Oh my God, the emotional waves, the waves that you just feel you cannot control, and that does not make sense. And it's these emotional waves of, old patterns and old ways of trying to, that your nervous system uses through patterning. We call it in psychology patterning. And it's trying to reconnect in its normal pattern to its environment, but you see your environment differently. Some people change their environment because of their awakening, and all of this patterning is collapsing. So the nervous system goes into a state of distress. And this is what brings up also a lot of these emotional waves, because it's sending out this the stress signals. I'm looking for comfort. I can't find my comfort. So my environment's not regulating me anymore. The people around me is changing. Well, this is not regulating me anymore. So where do all these emotions now go that has been held back as a result of the nervous system feeling, oh, I'm safe. I notice my environment. I feel good. Now it comes up, right? That door is open. And right, and your body is trying so hard. Let me tell you, your body is your greatest and biggest cheerleader. It wants nothing but the best for you. It is designed to see you succeed and is designed to keep you alive. I acknowledge sometimes we become ill, something happens, and then we feel like, God, you're just failing me. We feel resentful, but the body can only show up with the resources that it has and the resources that it inherited. It's not just in the now, it's what it inherited, right? So the body's trying really hard to keep up with our forever expanding consciousness. Now, something really beautiful that I love to do, which I'm going to get back to in a minute, because I really would love to share with you how you can start to move through these awakening periods. But one thing that I noticed, and this I don't know about you, but loneliness for me was tough. Isolation and loneliness. And it's not because the people necessarily changed in my life. It's that your energy, it doesn't match your old life anymore. Right? It's almost like that frequency shift, right, during our awakening can really make you feel like you don't belong. And normally, and a great way to explain that is, and I remember we once talked about this, when you walk into a room and you can just feel the environment, you can just feel, wow, someone in there was really sad, or, oh, wow, this feels really positive. It feels really upbeat. We can sense that, but there's nothing in the room to prove that to you. What are you tapping into? What are you feeling? What is that? So just generally speaking, to put a cap on it, just for everyone to understand, just energy. Let's just talk about energy. So what happens is the nervous system, our body is also familiar with certain types of energies. And sometimes low-level energies can make us feel regulated. It can make us feel safe because that's our reference. The body doesn't know anything other than that. But when your vibration shifts, when you start to feel happier, your energy it's also going to start to feel happier and shift. So what happens is when you walk into rooms, when you walk into different spaces, what normally would feel okay or comfortable-ish to you is now going to start feeling really uncomfortable. And what do we do when we feel uncomfortable? We want to get out, or at least we think we feel, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. So we reject, we push, even though we're still in that environment. And this rejecting behavioral pattern of just energetically wanting to push away or just thinking, oh, I'd rather be somewhere else, right? You don't want to connect. You want to disconnect. That moment right there, that is what creates a lot of this loneliness. So we outgrow friendships sometimes in this way. Jobs. Relationships that just no longer align with your new self. Your old identity dissolves. And you know, it left me in a spin, like in a complete void, because there was a part of me that just didn't know who I was anymore. Right? You see through societal illusions, which can make the world feel almost fake and meaningless. It's like, Lisa, I remember one day I was sitting there on the couch and I was watching a movie. And one moment I just had this wave of just absolute boredom come over me. And I'm looking at the TV and I'm like, it's all fake. I'm sitting here getting emotional and these people are actors. This is stupid. You know? I could be doing something else instead of sitting here for 1 hour looking at something that's not even real. And so. And from that moment, I couldn't look at movies the same way anymore. I couldn't. Now I have a deeper appreciation for real, true life stories because at least they are reenacting something that actually happened, right? So that to me makes a bit more sense now. So it might be a silly example, but for me, that was like a, you know, a slap
You know what
against the head.
happened
I'm
for
like, can you
me?
tell me?
So when I first had my awakening, I remember getting in my car and I turned on the song that I like absolutely used to love. And I turned it on and it was like, oh my God, the sound of this is awful. I need to turn this off right now. It was like the worst sound ever. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know what music I like anymore. And that's the frequency you're talking about is I was on a different frequency and I needed to find the sound that was gonna like pacify my mind. But it was
Your new
awful. I just turned the
sound.
radio off and I was like, what is happening? I used to love that song. I wanted nothing to do with it anymore.
And that, you know, I love that example because this is an excellent example of even how that song soothed you or regulated and your nervous system is just like, and your body and your mind is like, no, that reminds me of bad things. Come on, right? So that's the elevation. So that's a really, really beautiful example. And something that happened for me as well. Remember, ascension can also mean that we heal a trauma in ourselves and then suddenly everything looks different. Right? Ascension doesn't just have to mean, you know, collective consciousness. Oh, here we go. It can also come by us just starting to heal and shift and change to the point where we're going through our own little unique ascension. And I remember I was once in a relationship, and one day I just woke up and I remember and I looked at my partner. I'm like, I can't believe we're in a relationship together. What was I thinking? And it's not that the person did anything wrong. But what I did do was heal my fear of loneliness. And I realized that the core foundation of why we were together is because he plugged that hole, right? So I didn't feel so alone. I didn't feel that I'm lonely anymore. But when two people come together because of a unresolved trauma, right? When that trauma starts healing, one or both people are gonna it, there's normally a split because these two people were held together by fear, like, you know, trauma bonded. And it just drifted apart because he started working on himself as well. And it just was a very graceful separation. I've never in my life had such a graceful separation. It's like we both just understood what was happening and we celebrated it. And we even helped each other through the separation. You know, we did sessions on one another to help the other one get over some, you know, heartbreak and some sadness because the relation's coming to an end, but there's a part that also wants to go through new changes. Isn't that wild? We actually
Got
helped
it.
each other through that.
That's an
So,
action. That should be in a movie. That should be in a movie. The opposite of
right?
the
I love,
fantasy, right? The
oh
opposite
my
of the
God.
fantasy. This is actual romance, right? It's like this is actual love.
Yeah. That was very, it was love, but it was platonic love, but it was a deep love, right? So that was really beautiful. But that's an example of just how we can also go through our own unique little transitions. So something I would love to quickly just show everyone else, how we can regulate ourselves through these tough moments. A lot of times, what I see a lot of people do is humming, because humming stimulates the vagus nerve. We know that chanting, cold water exposure. But for women, the research is showing that we shouldn't cold plunge as cold, like 7 degrees Celsius. It's better like 13 or more, right? Because of our hormones, the thyroid, everything. So, and I do find that to be true. I notice that I go into an intense fight and flight, and I almost feel traumatized from going to 7 degrees Celsius. But when I go to 13, 14 degrees Celsius, and I come, and I in the experience is actually pleasant, and I come out feeling really, really good. But my most favorite is, let's do this together, Lisa. You can
Okay.
put your hands, you can make like a butterfly. Like I normally like to hook my fingers like that, or you can just do that. So I like to do that because it keeps the thumbs together, and I put it on my heart. So this is bilateral processing, but just really slow. So we just start to tap. Just get your rhythm. Just a nice tap, exactly like that. So 1 week up, 1 wing up. I call it the butterfly. And so what's really beautiful about this is, and then you can just find a spot that you stare at, or you can close your eyes. And what I like to tell myself, and you can find your own affirmation mantra, but what I like to say is, I am safe now. I'm safe now. I'm safe now. And what this does, it helps gently to just let the right and the left hemisphere of the brain to just come a little bit more together. And
It
the
does feel
tapping, the
super
vibration.
relaxing. Like immediately, my system is like
Right?
super chill.
Exactly. And the vagus nerve, everything, the autonomic nervous system, it's all looking for vibrations and movement to help it to regulate, to discharge. And citing that belief over and over and over again, and keep doing that until you actually feel what you're saying. And you will. It might take you a minute. For some people, it takes 5, and for some people, it takes 10. Right? And another great way, so if that doesn't work for you, if your shoulders or your arms, maybe you have an injury, then just on your legs, just like that, left, right, left, right. So just get your rhythm first before you start. Just feel like, okay, I have my rhythm. And then you can start to cite your positive affirmation. Don't change it. Just keep it the same. Keep it the same until you feel it. And then when you feel it and you're like, oh, I want to have another one. Oh, I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. And then you keep doing that, right? So this is excellent ways to help you and your body to regulate when you go through these waves of ascension. For me, it's that bilateral is the most powerful. And also just bringing your full focus and awareness to the bottom of your feet. You literally imagine that your focus is underneath your feet. For me, it's the most sobering, instant, balanced, anchoring moment that I can possibly explain. Nothing grounds me more than that. It's very powerful. And remember, another simple, easy way that you can also help yourself with is, especially if you live in an apartment, if you don't have nature or anything close by, or maybe your view is the building next door. This can be very problematic for the nervous system if you are going through stressful periods, not just through ascension, but just through stressful periods. So what I always encourage people to do is have like a big picture that is of a forest or a mountain, but something where you can see, or give you the illusion that you can see distance. Because when we see distance, it immediately tells vagus nerve and the body and the nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, all our stress responses, you are safe. When we're in four walls the whole time, it actually triggers, I am trapped. I am trapped. And it exacerbates anxiety. Mine was so bad when I worked in corporate way, way, way back that HR actually put me next to a window.
Okay.
I needed the window. And boom, it
Then
shifted
you
at
felt
least 50
better.
points. Excited because I could, and I can see, okay, there it is. You know, there's a view, there's space. I'm not trapped. Okay, let's keep going, right? But some people don't have necessarily that opportunity. So what you can do is just get a picture. And that's what I love on my computer desktop. I have the forest. So I have a double screen. So I have my forest here where I can see into where at least it creates the illusion that I can see into the distance. Huberman made a really powerful podcast about that. I just don't know the name of it, but this made a really big difference. And now I also understand back then what my body was trying to tell me. You need to see out a window. And I'm like, I couldn't understand why. Why would I feel better when I'm sitting next to a window?
Right.
And it's because that distance. So these are just really super basic but powerful examples of how you can constantly help your nervous system to regulate during these stressful moments instead of waiting until it's out of control. Go to the bathroom. Do your tapping, or even if you're at the office, no one can see when you put your hand in your legs like this and you tap and you just stare at your screen and you just cite your affirmation, right? So this is really powerful, something that can really help you already. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's really interesting to me how, like, you're talking about nature, forest, being outside, and that we're
Yeah.
not meant to be like really in four walls, right? It's like it just brings me back to like the
Yeah.
basics of like the human condition, right? Like, we need
It's
those
true.
things in order to
Yeah.
survive and thrive. And so, like, sometimes, like, just going back to basics and breathing. And just, being sitting in
Yeah.
nature like we used to, like not when we used to, but I'm talking years and years and years and years ago with our
Yeah.
ancestry, right? Like that was normal. And now we're just bombarded with all of this stuff, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So the more we can break down and almost destabilize in a positive way all these preconceived notions and all these illusions and fears, the better, because we're not just breaking down unresolved trauma. We're breaking down trauma that's been established as a result of, illusions and fantasies that upset us to the point where it almost traumatized people. So we're breaking down real true trauma, and then we're breaking down trauma also as a result of just negative thinking.
Yeah.
Right, so
So I have a
it
quick
sends the
question.
body in a spin. Yeah.
It totally does. I have a quick question, Dr. Rose.
Yeah.
So is there anything that triggers the dark night of the soul or the awakening, or is it something that just happens?
So when we look at history, we're designed to evolve. We're designed to evolve. And if we don't, that's where we start to have problems in our life. Like all changes has been sparked through moments of stress. If we didn't have stress or experienced discomfort, we wouldn't change, would we? So stress plays actually an evolutionary role in life itself and also for us as human beings. It's just part of our body and DNA lineage to embrace stress. It's always going to be there. And so let's use that stress as perhaps a positive gateway to seeing I'm about to live a new life. So that would be my answer to that question. And it's a great question. But if we just were the same way again and again and again every day, nothing would change. Nothing would evolve. We wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting how some people live that way or appear to live that way. And I'm always like, how is that even possible? Right?
Yeah.
It's like, don't you get bored of the same old thing? It's like my small town, like there's still people living there, like from when I was young. And I'm like, how are you still there? But what an interesting topic. I love this so much. Thank you so much.
Of course. No, thank you, Lisa. Thank you for the great questions, though. It was lovely to share with everyone.
Yes, absolutely. So, anyone out there who's interested to learn more about you or get in touch with you, how do they do that?
So you can find me on metaphysicalanatomy.com or just jump online with Instagram and you can find me at Dr. Yvette Rose Official. Or also YouTube videos. YouTube videos, a short URL for that is yvettevideos.com.
Beautiful. Do you have any last minute things to say on this dark night of the soul topic?
Another good question. So I think just in short for me, if I was going through it and what I needed to hear someone say to me was just how you're feeling is normal. Because it makes you feel so awkward and inadequate and just like something is wrong with you. Nothing is wrong with you. Your body is just responding perfectly normal, like everyone else, to a change. So start to normalize sometimes just feeling a little bit confused or a little bit awkward. It will pass. It's just that you're in that transition phase. I really wish someone told me that when my journey started, because I felt like my journey was 10 times harder because of how I judged myself, how I attacked myself, how I tried to show up to not show other people what I'm going through. Talk about it. Talk to friends about it. It doesn't have to be this moment of silence and stillness and isolation, because that is what creates the isolation. And if you don't have people or family members or friends that would maybe understand what you're talking about, go find your community. God, there's like ascension communities on Facebook and on Instagram and on the internet. Go find your community and connect and listen to what other people are going through, because it will really help you to normalize your experience, because that is a beautiful way to co-regulate during a really, really tough time. Even if it's strangers, your nervous system doesn't care.
That is really, really great advice. Thanks again for being here. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Bye, everyone.
And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. You just heard from Dr. Yvette Rose. And if you're going through your own breakthrough, hold on, because it gets so much better. You see the light at the end of the tunnel and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Until next time, take care, everyone. Bye.